Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam in the Morning podcast, brought to you by your local Les Schwab Tire Centers, where I get my wild country tires. Les Schwab, doing the right thing since 1952.
This is Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
They read poetry at a basketball game.
With Dusty Hera.
You're just one thing, dude. You have to use so many cuss words.
And Cam Cleland.
Nunchuck skills, bow hunting skills, computer hacking skills. Girls only want boyfriends who have great skills.
Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
First you gotta do the truffle shuffle.
Come on!
Do it!
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, hour number three, Dusty and Cam in the Morning. Are you a data or data guy? Data or data?
Take that data. For data.
Data.
You're a data guy? I am too.
Data.
You want to know why I am?
Pecan.
Yeah.
Are you doing the same thing?
Goonies is 100% data. Is the reason why I'm a data guy. Yeah. I'm not data.
Slick shoes. I got slick shoes.
I am data. 100%.
You're a data, huh?
Yeah. I'm a data guy. Like that's a data, poinsettia, poinsettia, tomato, tomato, potato, potato. Nobody's a potato person. Mm. And then you just had it too. Pecan. And pecan.
You ketchup or catsup?
Oh, ketchup. The ketchup guy. Yeah. What are you?
Ketchup.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it is wild how many dialects we have across our country.
Oh, it's the hardest language to learn. Everyone will tell you that.
American English?
Yeah. Because what there, if there, and there. Yeah. I mean, usually there, one word there, means there. One word, means one thing. It can't mean right. So many different things. And everybody's other language, I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
You mean tell me I got to spell it how many different ways?
You know what is a pet peeve of mine?
Your people that can't get it right.
And your. It is drives me bananas.
I
don't know why. That is the one like there, and there. Where and where. Were. And like those I can get. Your and your. I cannot. That just baffles me to no end. I don't know
why.
Gotta
put that apostrophe in it when you're saying you are.
Yeah.
But you're.
Know the difference.
But you are.
You know what? It was my 7th grade English teacher, Mrs. Fletcher. She just drilled that into our head. Your. Okay. Anyways.
Deep thoughts
with Jack Andy. Mm-hmm. Matt Rhule is the Carolina Panthers' new head coach. Way to go. I don't know what that means. I don't know if that's a good hire or not.
Well, the reports are that Matt Rhule.
Baylor.
Now the Giants are going to immediately go after Jason Garrett, but the Giants are supposedly their number one target now. Reports are that the number one target is Josh McDaniels. But the issue and some of the issues is that Eric Bieniemy was interviewed for that Carolina job and expected to get it. But the issue with Carolina is that they believe that he's not going to start for another month, and they wanted somebody in there right away.
Mm.
Who knows? I think that this is just Carolina. They found their guy. They like the situation. They know he can start. Let's go get it. And they did.
Well, and that's the thing. So, Josh, let's make no mistake about this. Mike McCarthy getting hired was the first domino to fall in the National Football League. He was the apple of a lot of teams' eyes, right? You saw Ron Rivera going to Washington. That was kind of like, oh, God, somebody had to take it, right?
Great hire.
Everybody, and I do believe that is a great hire. But I think that Mike McCarthy, we know he interviewed for, Carolina? And the Browns were interested in Mike McCarthy. He was the guy, when he goes off the board and he goes to Dallas, now you're going to start seeing boom, 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 everything could fall into place. Matt Rhule apparently wowed David Tepper, the owner of the Carolina Panthers, in their interview last night. Today, Rhule was supposed to get on a jet, head over to New York, where the Giants were pulling out the big guns. Dave Gettleman, obviously the GM, but the Mara family and the Tisch family, the two families of the Giants organization coming together for an interview, which is rare. We're both going to be there for this, Matt Rhule. He was a former offensive line coach for the Giants. They thought they had a great shot with him. He now goes to Carolina. Giants are reeling. Whether it's going to be McDaniels, Bieniemy is a great one. Could you imagine saying that Eric Bieniemy would be not just a great offensive coordinator, but a head coach candidate a few years ago when his Colorado offense was terrible in the Pac-12?
What's what happens
Remember
when
that?
You have tutelage of Andy Reid? I mean, right. You get to learn it. Everybody can get better, and he got better under one of the greatest coaches this league's ever seen.
And so now the Giants are stuck in this spot of, where are we going to go? Josh McDaniels, good one you brought up. But the Jason Garrett one is interesting because they now have to ask the Cowboys for permission to talk to Jason Garrett.
Oh, well, that's lunacy. That's called minutia.
Yeah, but how bizarre is that? Because technically, he's under contract for another week.
Yeah,
with the Giants. With the Cowboys.
That's nothing.
And isn't that ridiculous?
No, it means nothing. Yeah. It means nothing.
I know, and of course they'll grant the permission, but why wouldn't he be able to go wherever he wants he gets his walking papers?
He can't. What are they going to do?
But
you illegal? Oh, we already have a coach. He's kind of fine. It would never hold up anywhere.
We heard about these grumblings when Garrett was still the coach, and the rumors were of him getting fired in November. Right? Is that the Giants might move on from Pat Shurmur, and they really like Jason Garrett?
I think it'd be a slam dunk hire.
Do you really?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
A slam dunk, huh?
Slam dunk hire. Because, I think better than Josh McDaniels. Sorry, I'm not a Josh McDaniels fan.
Oh, I'm not either.
Never been.
So as a coordinator, I am.
Do you think, Camden, that Jason Garrett was handcuffed or held back?
Oh, 150 million percent. He couldn't even be not only just the coach he wanted to be, he couldn't even put together the staff he wanted.
So we don't know who he is capable of being as a head coach.
Not at all. Not at all. Not whatsoever. Jason Garrett is a fantastic offensive, brilliant mind. He is a so much better coach when he gets out of the thumb of Jerry Jones, which kind of happens to a lot of coaches.
Which ones have shined after they left Jerry, though?
Well, Wade Phillips was not Wade Phillips,
better DC,
who was, you know, by the way, just let go by the Los Angeles Rams. But yeah, I mean, great coaches are, when you're allowed to coach and be who you are under the identity, you can sink or swim.
Right,
you really can. Jason Garrett is an unbelievable guy. He may not come across that way because he's not just this. He's a great family person. The guys love him. Players love him. Staffs love him. You ever hear anything bad said about other than he's just kind of a. That's not who he is. It's not.
Yeah. I just don't know. I think that it's kind of like what the Cowboys did, where the reports are that Jerry Jones was enamored with Mike McCarthy because he was like, hey, every time we played you at the Packers, we felt like we were outcoached by you, right?
Yeah, and they came down and beat them every time.
The Giants feel the same way about Jason Garrett. Mm. So it's like, instead of taking this leap of faith and a trust your gut, it's like, hey, we're feeling like we're getting incrementally better.
It's worked in the past.
Coaching.
It's worked in the past. Bill Belichick went from where? Went from the Browns to the Jets to the Giants to New England. And they're all kind of incestuous. And they all know, gosh, he's really good. He's really good. What happens when they find a good match? Maybe Daniel Jones. Maybe that connection with Saquon Barkley. And get to have some freedom. Put together your own guys. He's proven. He's a very good coach. Who else is better? Name the guy who's, is it Josh McDaniels? Is it really? We've seen him be a head coach before. Is he mature? No, he's not mature. I've seen him at Denver. Has he changed? No, he's gotten fatter and maybe a little bit smarter.
He's gotten older.
Yeah, but
he may have literally matured age-wise.
He might have. But do you really want to go with the guy that said he was going to take the Indianapolis job and left them standing at the altar embarrassed and then got turned around, decided not to do it? Do you want to go with a guy that's indecisive, that throws tantrums on fields all the time? I don't know.
Well, I mean,
Jason Garrett is a stable of stability. And that right now, folks, is what the Giants need.
But that doesn't necessarily get you Super Bowl, so...
Does not get you Super Bowls.
Yeah.
What you've seen Odell Beckham. Is Odell Beckham the kind of guy you want? Do you want to have this kind of risky? Do you want the emotional? Or do you want stability? Do you want presidential kind of style? Then you're going to get that with Jason Garrett. Because that's what I see the Giants doing.
And that's kind of like, but I mean, the one that you just meant, when all those things, I was the checklist of Josh McDaniels, you're right. You know, didn't even show up for his press conference in Indy. But then you have like Belichick in Cleveland, went to the playoffs, got fired, then goes to the Jets for 48 hours and then backs out of the Jets after 48 hours.
Josh McDaniels goes up to New England.
But all of those warning flags before we know who Bill Belichick was, all of those warning flags were there too. And kind of just taking a leap of faith on a guy is something that you have to do. One name that I like is Robert Saleh, though. How about the defensive coordinator for the Niners, you know?
I think he'd be a great fit for the Browns.
Saleh, sorry.
Yeah, I think he'd be a great fit for the Browns. I think he's got that kind of, he's super emotional and he's tough and he looks good on the sideline, smart. Yeah, I think he'd be a great fit for the Browns. If they could get him, if he would even want that job.
And obviously the hay's already in the barn with McCarthy gone in Dallas, but I thought McCarthy would be the right guy for the Browns job because of his stability.
You know, he interviewed for that job way back when, a long time ago in 2002, and that was in between our run when we were with the Saints and he ended up coming back, but he interviewed for that job a long time ago. But that's just not, he's above the Browns job. I'm just telling you right now, there's not a lot, he's above it. And certainly he's above it because he got the number one job out there from the Cowboys.
You know, there's a name that is bouncing around for the Cleveland job that is bananas to me, because I just think that there's so many other coaches that are qualified and could be good. You mentioned a social media reaction from one of the Eagles fans after their loss was fire Schwartz, right?
Yeah.
According to Adam Schefter, Jim Schwartz, Eagles defensive coordinator, failed Detroit Lions coach, is going to interview for the Cleveland Browns job. Yeah. His record in Detroit, 29-51. Mm-hmm. Went to the playoffs once where they lost in the wild card in 2011. Remember the non-handshake gate with
Jim Harbaugh? Oh, no, it wasn't a non-handshake.
That was the backslap.
Too aggressive of a handshake.
Yeah, it was the backslap. Handshake. Extra backslap by Harbaugh.
Yeah, handshake gate with Jim Harbaugh.
Detroit is where you go to end your coaching career.
But what at that point, why would Cleveland be like, you know what? I really like what Jim Schwartz has got going for
This is not a hot take by me. I believe this in my soul. The Browns is a better job than Detroit.
Actually, I agree with that, too. I agree with that, too.
It just is.
I agree with that.
There are two jobs that are worse than the Browns. One, it's in your own state, Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. Awful. Ownership is awful. The other one, the Ford family in Detroit. It's so bad. It is, no, players don't even want any part of that. They don't want any part of going there. They hate it. The area, the family. It's just a portfolio fix for the Fords. They don't even really care about it. It's like, And then Cincinnati is so bad. The Browns job is better than both of those.
I've got a name that I can't figure out why it keeps coming up. Maybe you can help me out. And this one's more confusing than Jim Schwartz interviewing for Cleveland. Why do I see Brian Daboll is getting head coaching vacancy job? Like, he's the offensive coordinator for the Buffalo Bills.
It's amazing.
He was one of your coaches, right?
He was. And boy, man, I tell you, he's had great success lately. Was it offensive coordinator for Nick Saban, Alabama? That works. Was under Bill Belichick's staff. That's pretty good. Puts on your resume. And then goes back to Buffalo and leads his team to the playoffs and develop Josh Allen. He's going to get that. He's going to say, okay, I helped develop Josh Allen. Brian Daboll.
Mm. Well, the Giants have found their head coach. They have hired not Jason Garrett, not Josh McDaniels, but they went the Patriots way. They are finalizing a deal with Patriots wide receiver coach Joe Judge. Because their wide receivers were so good in New England this year.
No, I'm kidding.
All right, who is Joe Judge?
Unbelievable right now.
We will Google him next on The Fan. All right, we're talking dominoes falling, and boy, do they fall quickly. Mike McCarthy to Dallas was the first one. And then Matt Rhule, the Baylor head coach, heads to the New York Giants. Ian Rappaport, the NFL Network, reporting it is a Matt Rhule to the Panthers. It is a 6-year deal to Carolina from Baylor. And he called the Giants to give them an offer to match. So 6-year deal, that's the Kyle Shanahan deal. That is where Shanahan got a 6-year deal to be the head coach of the San Francisco 49ers and was like, dude, this place is a mess. You got to give me time.
God, this soap opera is so spectacular.
He gets 6 years and we're like, all right, well, what does that do with the Giants? Because the Giants were lining up an interview with Matt Rhule today to try and woo him. Well, they end up hiring Joe Judge.
Tell us about Joe, Dusty.
All right. Joe Judge is the special teams coordinator and wide receivers coach for the New England Patriots.
The only one in the league to have both titles.
Okay.
Only coach in the league to have both titles.
I first learned of Joe Judge and of leaving and becoming a head coach anywhere yesterday when it was reported that he was going to be the eye of Mississippi State's head coaching search. Mm-hmm. Bruce Feldman was reporting that Joe Judge was interviewing with his alma mater, Mississippi State, about becoming the head coach of Mississippi State. I had no idea that this guy would become an NFL head coach or that he was even interviewing for NFL jobs or...
What job is open right now?
What?
I mean, I find it very interesting that the pressure from Mississippi State, along with the Giants and all of this, all falling so quickly, like happening so quickly.
Yeah. I mean,
it's amazing because Mississippi filed, I mean, they fired their coach, what, just a week ago?
Yeah.
A few days ago? Or, yeah, it was just
that's
last week.
Why Feldman yesterday was reporting that he was interviewing for that job.
It's incredible how and fast so, that happens.
Yeah. And so this is how the dominoes fall, man. Just there we go. The dude's a winner, though. He has three Super Bowl championships with the New England Patriots. And then before that, he is part of this. You talked about the incestual coaching trees of the NFL. He's part of the Nick Saban and Bill Belichick.
This is what they do.
Bromance coach alliance, which Brian Daboll, who coached for New England,
did you watch the ESPN special of those two yet?
Is it on
Maybe it was HBO. I can't remember.
HBO.
Exactly. It's on HBO. Mm-hmm. It's awesome. But yes, those two coaches, they just trade each other when it comes to coaching staffs and understand it.
They understand each other. They get each other.
And why wouldn't you? You're two of the best, not only football's ever seen, you might be arguably the greatest head football coach in the NFL and college. And they're good buddies. Yeah. Love it.
And then, you mentioned he's the only guy with the title of special teams coordinator and wide receivers coach. In the National Football League. Now he's the head coach. This is, you mentioned the name, the hire that this reminds you of. Whomst does this hire remind you of?
What did I say? I already forgot.
John Harbaugh.
Oh, it does. Yeah, of course. John Harbaugh. I'm sorry. It totally just got me off guard. Yes, this is a John Harbaugh hire. And I only say that because John Harbaugh came from a family of great coaches, but he was a special teams coach. That's how he cut his teeth with this. I'm actually more enamored with the fact that who's going to be the bigger judge in this city?
Aaron Judge or Joe Judge? Aaron. For sure.
Think so?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's no doubt about it. No doubt about it.
Does Judge Judy live in New York?
Brown does. Wapner did.
Judge Mills Lane.
Ooh. How about Mills Lane? You know, Mills Lane became popular because he did the Evander Holyfield.
Yeah.
Are you ready? Are you ready? Let's get it on.
Okay.
What?
Boy, that was a tangent. Look, there's a squirrel.
Yep. A lot of judges. But that is your new head coach of the New York Giants. Didn't see that one coming?
No. Which means this tells me something that I'm just going to throw out. I said it in the break. I think this tells you that Tom Brady is now, because Tom Brady and Josh McDaniels, I believe, are attached to the hip, not only like with the Kraft family, but this is a sign, because Josh McDaniels, there's no way he's taking the Browns job, right? There's no way he's taking the Browns job. This is a sign that tells, and if he does, I don't know. This is a sign that Tom Brady is going to sign a one-year deal.
With a league minimum.
Not a league minimum. No, he's going to be... He's going to be signing like a quarterback minimum. It's going to be like $28 million or whatever.
League minimum.
Yeah. Because you need all that cap space to sign those wily veterans.
No, he's going to sign. Wide receivers.
Yeah. He's going to sign a one-year deal, and they're going to stay together. They're bringing the band back together for one more run. Yeah. Let's go. Bring it back. Let's take it. Yeah. Run this back.
My dream is the Tom Brady one-year minimum deal, FU tour, where you sign. He's just like, use the rest to get receivers.
He's selling his house. His house is for sale.
Airbnb.
It's 10 acres. It's 10,000 square feet. It's 5 acres. Sorry, 10,000 square feet for a mere $34.8 million. So you can purchase that house.
Oh, I'll look into it. I don't know if it's enough acreage.
It's on the fairway. It's just on the fairway. It's just down the fairway. 5 acres.
Oh, it is?
Oh, it's on the golf course.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I mean, I don't know if I want that hazard of balls like flying.
I think it's down $8 million. I think they dropped it down $8 million.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, they did a little price cut.
It's in my price range, though. Mm-hmm. It's in my price range. Oh, my God. So how many jobs are open now? Browns?
That's it.
I believe that's it.
No surprise. Browns is all that's left.
All right. So
let's play the fun game of who gets the Browns job.
Yeah, Field Yates tweeting out the recap. Cowboys Mike McCarthy, Giants Joe Judge, Panthers Matt Rhule, Redskins Ron Rivera, Browns are the only one TBD.
No surprise. Who's going to take this job?
Saleh?
Think he does it? I don't know.
Somebody text in 553-05. Somebody who could go to Cleveland to redeem both himself and the Browns, Jeff Fisher.
Oh, Lord.
That is 7-9 bull.
Yes.
Wouldn't that be a fun offense to watch with Baker Mayfield?
Well,
isn't Fish coaching in the XFL? I thought he was coaching in the XFL. Am I wrong?
No, I don't know. I don't think that's right.
Maybe not.
We're now seeing a new update to the Matt Rhule deal with the Panthers. Not 6 years, seven. 7 years. Wonderful. Worth up to $60 million with incentives to get to $70 million.
That's what you do. You got to do it like John Gruden. 10 years, $100 million. You got to invest long term.
No wonder he's getting like Dabo money.
How much is he getting?
He's
7 years, $60 million, could get to $70 million with incentives.
That's not bad. That's like 7.5, isn't it?
It's a dadgum mistake.
That's like, no, my math is bad. That's like 6.5. 6.5 million.
What? Well, 7 and 70 would be $10 million a year if he gets there.
This is not a math show.
But it's like a $9 million a year.
Oh, salary. I'm sorry. I thought it was 10. I'm thinking 10. I'm thinking it was a 10-year deal. I apologize. Yes.
Can't believe works with round numbers.
As soon as I said John Gruden, I thought 10 years, so I was backing it off. So, you know, yeah. You're right. That is close to...
I mean, that's a Dabo money there. Like, so, what is it? You said 67? That is...
7 years, $60
million. $8.5 million per year, right. Still without any of the incentives. Mm-hmm. So, all right.
Take that for data.
Names to look at for the Browns.
Yeah, thoughts and prayers that football's dying.
Josh McDaniels, Robert Saleh, Chris Richard. What about Chris Richard? Remember when he was a hot name?
We got a DC job.
Well, I know. But then he was like, hey, he's going to be the next hot head coach. Eric Bieniemy. Greg Roman.
People are coaches and owners. Well, owners are impatient. They don't want to wait around for another month because they know they got to get the draft going. They got to get all their scouting developed. They got to get the staffs. By the time you get to the end, if you pick off a team and somebody that's been to the Super Bowl, all these coaches got to move. You got to get their families. You got to start grabbing everybody.
All right. Browns, I'm available. All right.
First thing you do as a Browns coach. First thing you would do. First thing that you would do when you walk into the Browns facility, what's your first move?
Pee on Baker Mayfield's locker to establish dominance.
Oh, I was going to say pet their dog.
Trade Baker Mayfield.
I would have established dominance by peeing, but trading Baker Mayfield would do the same thing. That's kind of establishing your dominance.
I'd package Baker Mayfield and...
Odell!
And Odell.
And
Jarvis Landry?
Miles Garrett. I make a three-package deal right there and go get draft picks like there's no tomorrow.
Really?
Yep. What could you get for those guys?
Go for the future, huh?
Yeah. I mean, I'd gut it all because I want my own identity on it. Now they're good players, but just like John Gruden, man, he said, I want to start over.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there we go. That's coaching news for you. Where do you want to go from here? We can rank the...
Oh, no. We had something to talk about road trips.
Oh, we do.
Come on, man. Stay on track.
Well, it's not... this has been put... We were supposed to talk about it 45 minutes ago. Gardner Minshew is doing something that's pretty badass. Dusty and Cam, here's Buck.
First year, we took it to the limit.
Shining in him. I'm starting to believe that Matt Rhule's contract is a fish, and it's just going to keep growing by the end of the show. It'll be a 13-year deal worth $50 million. 6 years to 7 years to, it's up to 7 years and how much, Buck?
$60 million with up to 70 with incentives.
Right. So we got that ironed away. He's going to Carolina. Matt Rhule to Carolina. Joe Judge from New England to the Giants, which leaves the Browns as our only open job. So enjoy a Jim Schwartz interview, guys. One team that is not playing currently, but has got one heck of a quarterback, and everybody up here loves Gardner Minshew and Minshew Mania. Gardner Minshew is doing something that is completely on brand for the former Washington State quarterback turned Jacksonville Jaguar.
Hello, Gardner Minshew here. After a long rookie year, I've decided to take a step back, recenter myself the only way I know how. Hopping in my brand new RV and touring this great country. So if you're anywhere between Jacksonville and LA, I want to hear from you. Places to see, anything for free, food to eat, people to meet. Hopefully I see y'all out there on the road. But until then, keep it rolling.
Anything for free? I love that part of it. He's like, anything for free.
Welcome to being a pro athlete. Like, are you free? Free? I mean, I got to pay for something free? This is spectacular. I'm an RV junkie, and I love it because this is, I mean, how is this not on brand? This is the most on brand thing you can imagine. Did he get his deal from Cam Soda? And he's going to continually just go on brand and get in that RV. And I hope that we get updates throughout the entire trip.
Yeah.
By himself?
I don't know, but it seems like a big time sponsorship opportunity.
But here's the thing.
Oh, yes, it does.
So he posted that to what, his Instagram page?
I don't know if it was Instagram or Twitter, but
I'm looking at his Twitter page right now. He hasn't tweeted anything about it.
Well, it's probably Instagram.
But the video is legit.
Yeah, it's
and
him.
It's him in his jorts in front of the...
And a collared cutoff shirt, my friend.
Yes. Next level.
Can you imagine how many chicks he's going to pull? That's what he's doing on this tour, right? Like, he's just going on a cross-country tour just to... he is badass.
You just got to keep living, man. L-I-V-I-N.
Well, you got to enjoy every second of it. He's a single guy. Okay, he just came off a great rookie year.
Yeah.
He's an NFL quarterback. He's going to be in an RV. And what better time to travel the country than in the winter?
Well, I mean, at least he's going through the South.
Yeah, just stay in I-10. I wonder if he'll just stay on I-10 and just cruising on down the South.
Oh man, God bless him.
What a great time. Just roll into any Walmart, just sidle in, park the sucker, and just go enjoy the moment.
Yeah. Hey, how's your cross country trip? Well, stayed in a few Walmarts. Hey, Jacksonville's quarterback actually pulled his RV up right next to mine at the KOA. Yeah. It was awesome.
What a great time.
He's a really nice young man. Partied all night. His RV was a rockin'.
RV life is great, man. The people are fun. The people are just do it. They don't have a house. They just sit around. It's just fun, great life.
If I learned anything from my own bachelor party at a NASCAR event, RV people are some of the most generous and kind-hearted people around.
I couldn't agree more, but they just said, come on over for some food. Everybody's about, hey, can I help you with this? I mind stuff. Yeah, I got a tool for that. You love to talk. You embrace it. Have you seen the movie with Robin Williams? I think it's RV. It's hysterical.
It's called RV. My dad loves that movie.
Oh, it's a great movie. It's fantastic.
The one thing that I know that this turns into is by the end of this trip, it'll look pretty rugged, that RV. I know
a little run through.
Gardner Minshew will then take it all the way back across the country. By the time he shows up at Jags training camp, he's going to be looking like Cousin Eddie, rolling out of a run-down, beat-up RV. And the S is going to be full. I guarantee he's going to pull that thing up to training.
Well, he's got to stop and work out. He's got to keep the body fresh.
That's right.
And tight.
See, I hope I'm wrong about this, but I got a feeling he drives it to L.A. and flies back.
What I love is that he's going to go to some towns like a former intern Christian. He said from ASU says he'll pull a few chicks when he stops in Tempe at ASU.
Oh, there are a lot of college girls that are very thirsty for some Gardner Minshew.
He does not look like an NFL quarterback.
Well, no, isn't he 24? He's an old man.
And then how creepy is it when he tries the guy with the mustache and the cutoff jorts is saying he's an NFL quarterback now? Just come back to my RV with me.
Legitimately, Uncle Rico is going to be touring the South.
Oh, selling Tupperware?
Yeah, doing whatever he can. Say, I can throw this ball over this mountain right now. You just watch.
God bless you, Gardner. Keep on keeping on, bro.
Good for him.
Well, yeah. That's way beyond jealous. That'd be such a cool thing to do. Like, you have that time on your hands. Go and
do something
cool like that.
You have the guts enough to do that by yourself if you were his age? Would you have done that by yourself with an RV?
Yeah, by myself with an RV, I would have loved to if I would have had the means to do it. Because here's the other thing, too, is that, like, he's not worrying about gas money or where his next meal is going to come from or if he breaks down, what is he going to do? He's got money. Like, the hard part about being, like, that age and doing something like that is, like, how screwed are you going to be when you're off in the middle of nowhere? Like, yeah, I would have loved to have done that. My brother and I tried to do cross-country RV trip once we got done with school to every Major League Baseball stadium that summer, but we couldn't afford it. So that was the only thing that hung us up. Like, that would be cool. And there's no way he's going to be by himself the whole time.
Well, I mean,
he's doing it with his bros.
I don't know. Do you think how many bros want to go in that sneaky place, man? Can you imagine what that thing's going to smell like in about 1,000 miles?
Well, if you're part of like the Gardner Minshew's crew or whatever, apparently he has like 4 or 5 friends that he's super tight with, than he's been tight with since he was kids or something.
Oh, well, that's cool.
Yeah. But I mean, I'm assuming that they're not like, they have their own jobs and stuff because he's not like a first round pick and has that kind of cash rolling around.
There's nothing like being on the road. I mean, John Madden had it best. Yeah. Sat in the Madden Cruiser, got to see the country. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Meet all the people. You don't meet any good people on an airplane. Meet any good people on an airplane? It was like, put their headphones on, leave me alone.
Actually, I met a P1 on my way back from the Rose Bowl this past one. It was pretty cool. I mean, I've met cool people on airplanes before.
Yeah. Are people on airplanes friendlier, Buck?
No, you don't.
Buck, no, you can speak to this.
You don't want anyone to talk to you.
Nobody talks to each other on an airplane. But in an RV, you stop off, you got a million friends. Everybody's friends. Hanging out. Come eat. Come hang out.
I do like the person texting in that Gardner and Leach should meet up at Area 51 to film something.
That is true.
If there's anybody that's going to stop off and join on the recruiting trip, maybe just, you know, meet up for a little recruiting.
Looking for one of these aliens down here in the desert and play defensive tackle.
We're terribly excited about that.
Am I weird for I don't mind talking on airplanes?
God, I would punch you in the face. Yeah,
you know what? Here's the thing. My kind of rule of thumb is if the cabin lights are off, do not talk. Like if it's early in the morning, late at night. But if it's like the middle of the afternoon, you're sitting down and you get small talk with the person sitting next to you, that's fine.
But here's the thing.
That's a hard no.
That's an extreme hard no. Here's how I gauge it. All right.
Unless you're in first class and I got space. Middle seat guy, shut the hell up. All right, go ahead.
Wow. You're aggressive.
No. Well, personal space.
Well, but it's not personal space. It's a conversation. I'll go if earphones are out. Go earphones out. See how long that goes. If earphones are out, you can strike up a conversation. I don't think that's a problem. But if somebody clearly just wants to sleep or they have their headphones in, don't continue to try and talk to somebody. That is an annoyance. So you strike me as a person, you get on the plane, your earphones go straight in, and you just lean back. In that, you're putting off all the vibes, no conversation. I think it's okay to strike up conversation.
You are Del Griffith to the T. Those of you who don't know who Del Griffith is.
Planes, Trains?
Yes. He is who John Candy's character is in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Well, there's etiquette to it. You don't just sit there and start yapping somebody's ear off.
Or are you a take your shoes off guy on the airplane too?
No.
Because now we're just fighting words.
God, no.
Did you see the clip of the lady that took her shoes off on the airplane, was sitting on the bulkhead seat with the screen in front of her, and was so lazy to reach up and use her finger to swipe through the movies on the touchscreen? She had her shoes off with her socks off and was using her big toe to swipe through the screen.
I saw that. I hate that. I think that if you're getting
shoes
on
off?
A flight, you should wear comfortable footwear.
Or bring some slippers. Bring a change.
No stocking feet. Because you've been walking around in an airport, waiting around all day.
Mine.
This text says, I don't even talk to my wife on the airplane.
Great point.
going on a trip to Vegas on Friday for the weekend. Enjoy. Everyone was talking. Depends on the flight. Red eye flights to Vegas. Oh. Great conversations. Red eye home from Vegas. Don't even look at me.
This is not a hot take on this one. Anybody that's mad at a family or a young kid that's crying on an airplane, you can go to hell.
That is very true.
You can go so far to hell.
I feel so
bad.
You're
not on. Yeah, I really feel sorry for them. I've been there. I've done that. But you are a spoiled punk if you think that every family gets on an airplane and goes, I can't wait for my kid to be the most annoying thing on here. Put your earphones on. Put your noise cancellation. Shut up and go to sleep.
So hold on. Where do you draw the line? Because I get that you can't control the noise, the earplugs or whatever. But we did have a little man of about 3 years of age that was kicking the backs of our seats
and I said,
for about 3 hours.
Now, that's a different deal. That's, you know, crying, upset, that can't control it. But a kicking thing, that's a parent. He's like, knock it off, knock it off. Get up and walk them through. I've been through that.
Yeah.
I've had the murderous child on an airplane.
You have no idea what's going on.
I got up and
on.
Stood and held him and stood. And we actually had stewardess that held my oldest and just said, can we help you, please? And I stood for like an hour just holding him up.
Yeah, we had the same thing. I talked about this when we came back from Mexico last year. My son had viral and bacterial pneumonia on our flight home from Mexico City. Like, he had two kinds of pneumonia. There was absolutely nothing you could do to comfort that kid, and nothing you could do. And my wife, like, she broke down. She was crying because people were like, like staring at her and being
I would have said,
And we both went off
on
the people
of the world if you're that person. Yeah. I got nothing for you.
Some sanctimonious troll.
That's right.
Exactly,
Mike.
What you are.
All right. 5-5-3-0-5.
First of all, you bought a small ticket on an airplane. What'd you think you did? You didn't buy a limo ride. Okay. You don't get to, this is not your own personal space here.
All right. We have, do people talk on airplanes? What's proper etiquette there? And Buck needs to give us his passport story next on The Fan. Hey, I have one more Joe Judge note for you.
Yeah.
The new head coach of the New York Giants.
Yeah.
From July 9th, 2013, Joe Judge, special teams assistant for the Patriots, is the Patriots coach identified as Aaron Hernandez's neighbor in warrants by the police. Jeez Louise.
Wow.
I didn't know that part.
How about this narrative for Joe Judge, who ends up being now the head coach of the New York Giants? Remember the narrative for the Patriots? Who was the worst position in the entire Patriots group?
That's wide receiver.
Oh, no, he was the wide receiver. And how many kickers did they end up going through when they lost Gostkowski? Quite a few. Giving up a few kick returns. It goes to show you that this was a personnel issue, not a coaching issue, when who is coaching. He's honestly coaching the worst position group of it. He got a head coaching job.
Yeah. Okay. We were talking etiquette on planes. What do you do? We had a guy, P1 John. I've been giving John like travel advice because he went to a George Strait concert in Vegas with his girlfriend and her parents, and then they went to Disneyland. He says they're going to Arizona now, and he says, how do you deal with crying kids next to you for the whole flight? You just
put your noise cancellation headphones on,
and you buy the parent a drink.
I got a news flash from Major League Baseball you right here.
What do you got?
So Major League Baseball's investigation of the cheating Houston Astros is in.
Nothing.
Lengthy suspensions are expected in the final stages.
Oh, all right. Most of the guys are gone anyway. So,
just FYI, your teams are going to hell.
Yeah, it's all right. It was worth it. Worth it. Totally worth it.
They got you a championship.
Heck yeah.
All that matters.
Heck yeah.
I'm going to do that.
You
know what we should do? Help the people. That's what you should do. The kid's crying, dude. Help.
Yeah, help the... Oh, I was like, what?
Help the people.
Help the people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you know what you were one time?
Do whatever
you can. An annoying
little
brat one time in your life.
Yeah. That's great. That's a good way to end it. Ooh, this text. What's the proper etiquette when you're sitting next to CJ Verdell after a Rose Bowl win on a plane?
Fist pound.
You know what? I actually was in the airport, and Jake Hansen and Shane Lemieux, offensive linemen.
Just ask him questions like, what's it like to carry the football?
No, you know what I asked those two guys?
Just the entire time.
Those two behemoths?
Yeah.
They were just like jaunting around, you know. They looked fine. I go, you guys don't look nearly hungover enough to have just won a Rose Bowl.
I thought you asked if they thought Penny Sewell had a little more baby fat.
I did. I said, is he ready? I don't think he's ready for me. Let's go. And they weren't hungover at all, which was the upset of all upsets, man.
Oh, mature. Yeah.
You just won the Rose Bowl. How could you not be the next morning? Jeez.
You guys don't like it?
Maybe.
Can't accept free drinks.
Yeah.
Wouldn't matter to me. When I was in college, that was the difference between my college and their college experiences. Woo! All right. Have a great Tuesday. We will see you Wednesday from 6 to 9 a.m. And next is the Herd with Colin Cowherd, 9 to noon, noon to 3, Dirt and Sprague, 3 to 7, primetime with Isaac and Sue. Have a great Tuesday. See you Wednesday right here on The Fan.